I'm back on the microphone. It has been a hot minute, my friends. Oh my God. I think a lot of you thought I was never coming back, and that makes me so sad that you'd even think that. But this has just been a season of a lot of things. And I think the main thing and the reason why I have this person on with me right now is we both are trying to navigate something, and it's a navigating back to yourself, like finding yourself again, finding yourself through all the storms and all the change and all these things. And there's so many ways we're going to talk about this and how you find yourself. And if you're just feeling a little bit like lost, maybe misguided by what you thought was going to be true about a situation, like what a breakup was going to feel like, what leaving a job was going to feel like, what moving was going to feel like, and you just keep seeming to like stumble over your toes again. This episode is for you because we're navigating all that live and current, and we want to talk about it. Megan Cheeley's here. She's been on the podcast before. She's a great friend of mine. We're actually in the heat of the Wealthy Circle month, which is incredible. She's our mentor of the month, and we're doing a little cook tonight, cooking night.
We're going to do a little virtual cooking sesh,
which I think will be so fun.
Yeah.
But will give your little, like, kind of like elevator pitch, I always say, of who you are? Because I like to do it too, but you do it better.
I'm Megan Cheeley. I am a full-time recipe developer and content creator. I have been doing that for about 5 or 6 years now, which feels crazy. I do it full time. So I spend all my days in my kitchen.
How fun is that?
It's really fun.
The overarching is fun.
I mean, some of the day-to-day mundane things it's a job at the end of the day.
It's still work.
I'm doing something that I love, which is great.
If you have seen her probably on TikTok or Instagram, it's probably been a pickle recipe. I feel like those are the ones that you do so well with. Even lately, I just feel like I'm also paying attention to it because it was summer.
Yeah.
So I was like, pickle anything. I'm like, yes, I'm making pickles.
Yes.
I'm making something with pickles.
I got a lot of pickle recipes. I was just at the fair reviewing all the pickle foods.
That's right.
That was fun.
Oh my God. I know the state fair. I did not go this year. I kind of feel like I missed out. I jipped myself a little bit, but I don't know.
It's okay.
The crowds, like,
I know it's a lot.
I'm an introverted extrovert. Like, it was too much to think about getting on the bus and like being like, here we go. Gotta go to the fair to get your tickets out.
It's a commitment. It's, you gotta commit.
Help. Literally help. But it is the best one. So
it is.
Whatever.
It's a good fair.
You have been through some seasons. SHIT.
It's been a year.
We both have been through some shit, I think, lately. Yeah. But you specifically, I feel like, have just had to navigate so much. And I think what I appreciate about you is you've navigated it with openness and grace, and you have a platform, and you don't owe anybody. You don't need to share anything you don't want to share. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you're good about being like, yeah, I'm a recipe curator and creator and influencer, but I'm still like, I'm kind of going through some shit right now. And it's going to change the mood of my content a little bit and how I show up, but like, it's authentic.
For sure.
And I feel like a lot of people don't do that. And
for sure.
Just, you've had to navigate a lot. So kudos to you. And I don't even know where to start your journey and of your season of finding yourself and coming home to yourself. But I think it starts back when you were in a long-term relationship and doing van life and made the kind of first initial career jump.
Yeah. So the career jump was probably in like 2018.
Yeah.
Van life was 2021 to 2022. And my long-term relationship of 12 years ended in November.
November of this past year.
Of this past year,
yeah. Wow. I didn't realize it was that recent even.
Yeah.
It feels like years and moons ago because so much has changed even for you.
For sure.
Wow.
I've lived, I feel like, what is a few lives in between now and then.
How was it finding your identity again after being in such a long-term relationship with someone who, I don't know if you thought you were going to end with this person, but like, you know, we think that if we're in something for a really long time, I feel like.
Yeah. I think when you're with someone for 12 years, you kind of assume this is who I'm going to be with.
Yeah.
And to answer your question about finding who I am without that relationship, I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Every day.
Yeah.
It's a battle, but it is worth it.
I mean,
you have to go back to yourself every single time. Like, no, you can't count on, I mean, that sounds really dark. You can't count on anyone, but like, truly, you can only count on yourself because we are our only best person in our lives. I mean, I know that sounds dark and it sounds cliche, but like, you've got to see yourself as the best person in your life because you have to be your biggest cheerleader and like be the person that moves the needle in your own life. You know what I mean?
For sure. And there's that saying, you know, at the end of the day, all you have is yourself, right? And that was something that I had never experienced before. I've been in a relationship essentially since I was 17 years old. I was always the girl with the boyfriend. I've always overlapped boyfriends. I had a fear of being single. I had a fear of being alone. And for the first time in my life, I am sitting in that. And I understand why people have a hard time facing themselves. Because even if you are a good person and you treat people well, we all still have dark corners of ourselves that are really hard to face, whether it's traumas or triggers or wounds that you've carried for decades. It's not easy to face them. And the only time you really face them is when you're alone. And that's kind of what I was doing. I was in relationships, not because I didn't love these people. I loved them, but it was also a way for me to not face myself. I put a lot of my energy into and my identity into being a partner, and I loved having a partner, but it was a way for me to not face things that I hadn't been facing for a really long time. So this season within the last few months is when a lot of wounds and things that I hadn't faced for decades have come to the surface. And now I know why people don't do the work. It's deeply uncomfortable.
I'm sure it is. Were you ready for these things to, I mean, to come up? Were you prepared for that? Or like, how did you come to this decision of like, I'm going to go on my own after having like a really, you know, like kind of like a crutch for a very long time?
Yeah. So when my relationship ended in November, it was a mutual decision. We had essentially just grown apart. I think we were going in two different directions, and I ultimately knew I had never been alone. And I think that was like the underlying issue for me is I had put a lot of my worth and my confidence and who I was as a person into being a partner. And I knew that a lot of the things that I wanted to explore were only going to be able to be done alone. And unfortunately, after that breakup, I thought I had processed it. I definitely did not. I distracted myself quite a bit with work. Work got very busy. I traveled a ton, almost every weekend. So that was a great distraction to not have to think about that my 12-year relationship had ended. I, full transparency, got involved with somebody probably much sooner than I should have. I wasn't ready, but I was pursued pretty heavily by somebody that I thought cared about me. And I got involved with somebody, and that was also a distraction. And that fell apart at the beginning of this summer, and I was forced into true alone time, heartbreak like I had never experienced before, because I was now grieving the 12-year relationship that had ended, and I was grieving being abandoned by somebody that I thought cared about me. And it brought a lot of wounds to the surface. So for the last like 2 to 3 months, I've been navigating a lot of emotions behind the scenes. Social media has been a very hard place for me to show up the last couple of months.
I can only imagine, because it's like, that's you. I mean, you're a personality. I know everybody says like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm like really me, and you are like, I'm really me online. You're really you online. But you still like, no one wants to scream from the rooftops, I'm doing the horrible right now. Like, that's not fun for anybody. And you feel like you're a downer, and you feel like you're pushing stuff on people. Or that, this is just how I feel. I'm like, hey, sorry, I'm bad still. Like, you just feel like you're like, okay.
It's almost like you feel a burden.
Burdened. A little bit for everybody else. But I we need to also acknowledge the fact that like, we're human, and you being in a position where like you have a lot of eyes on you to be able to talk about like, I'm going through a breakup. And actually, it's my second one, and I'm feeling it all right now, even though I know I said it was X amount of months ago. And it sucks. And here's how I'm navigating moving through all the things that are coming up. And
for
like,
sure.
How are you keeping your mentally or your mentality like positive and like moving through all this?
For sure. And I mean, there's also the aspect of this stuff has felt so heavy for me the last few months that I almost don't even know how to explain to people online what I'm going through. And there's also a part of me that's like, this feels so deeply personal right now. Once I navigate it and feel like I'm through it a little bit more, I'll be able to talk about it a bit better. But right now I'm still like, I wake up every single day and I'm like, I don't know how to navigate these things. I feel like I'm a baby, like navigating life for the first time. Like this all feels very new to me. I'm not used to being alone. So this has been a big, big challenge. And there are parts of me that I do want to keep private.
As you have every right to.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody would ask that of you. No, that's your choice of how to navigate that. But it's like, it is hard because your job is to be online. So I can only imagine like that, even that pull of like, what do I share? What do I not share? What do I share? How do I not share this? And how do I talk like, you know, doing the job I'm supposed to have, like the pickle company needs a video from me, but like today's a really hard fucking day.
Yeah. I mean, there were days I had to film for work because that's how it's so interesting because people are like, oh, you see, why do you go on social media and act like you're okay? And, you know, and then you're not when you're behind the scenes. And it's like, well, you still go to your job and when you're navigating stuff and act like you're okay.
Yeah.
This is my job.
This is how
I have to show up. I have to smile when I'm producing an ad for a company because I need to get paid.
Correct.
And then I shut the camera off and I cry.
Yeah.
So it is for me, it does feel a bit inauthentic because I'm forward facing and facing a camera that a lot of people are viewing. But it to me is just like, you guys are still able to take your calls and go to your meetings when 100%. You're navigating stuff and you probably go home and cry. So it's like just different.
Yeah,
same, but different.
No, 100%. But you just have that. You have the power to make all those choices for yourself.
For sure.
If anybody has an opinion on that, literally screw a middle finger to the sky. Cause like, what the hell?
People,
mind your own business.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to navigate.
It is hard though, because opinions online, but
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of women in this community too, who have navigated out of relationships that were long-term or navigated out of a boyfriend that just wasn't giving them what they needed, or girlfriend or whoever the hell they're with, you know, like what would you say to somebody who is maybe pondering this breakup that they know they need to get out of, or in that same season as you? Right now navigating.
For me, the two things that were very telling was intuition. Your gut knows. When you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think the mind is obviously going to know. The mind and the gut are going to know before the heart.
Yeah.
Because the heart doesn't want to let go. And I think the length of time you've been contemplating. I had been contemplating for a long time. And I knew at the end of the day, I knew I wasn't feeling fulfilled, and he would have never said he wasn't feeling fulfilled, but he wasn't. And he admitted that to me after it ended. So I, unfortunately, while bearing the emotional burden of having to make the decision, it ended up being very mutual.
Yep.
So I would say if you are having like that instinctual gut feeling of something not being right.
Yeah.
That's like all you need. And here's the thing. There's no right time to leave a relationship.
Yep.
For real. It's going to hurt regardless when, how, where you do it.
Yep.
I genuinely think heartbreak and grief are the worst human emotions to feel. 100%. I'm a firm believer in that. It's not going to be easy. But if I can do it, if I can leave a 12-year relationship with a good guy.
Yep.
I think you guys can too, if it's something that you're contemplating.
100%. How have you continued to find yourself though, as you navigate this? I mean, I know there's not an answer. Like, it's just like, what little steps are you taking to continue to be like, you know, I solid in your decision and just like moving yourself forward one tiny little toe at a time towards where you want to be.
Writing for me has been huge. I have gone through probably 3 journals in the last 3 months.
Yep.
I also started a journal before that relationship ended. So that is something that I've revisited when I'm having those moments of doubt.
Weakness.
Because that is going to happen. The human body doesn't like being uncomfortable. It doesn't like newness. It doesn't like being sad. So the mind's going to do anything it possibly can to drag you back to familiarity
or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep. It'll always try to go back to it.
Yeah. The mind's going to do whatever it can to feel comfortable again. So I revisit old journals. I have cried so much. I'm shocked at how many tears the human body can produce at this point. And when I used to feel moments of sadness, I would do something to avoid it because it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And now I sit in it. I sit on my couch and I sob. I sit in the shower and I sob and I shake and I scream and I cry to anyone who's listening.
Yep.
It's the body needs to release and it needs to process. And we're so used to numbing out these uncomfortable emotions with social media, with drugs, alcohol, partying, sex, food, whatever it is.
Any distraction we can get.
Any distraction. Mm-hmm. And I've really leaned into journaling, crying, going for walks,
yep.
spending time with really quality friends.
How do you define a quality friend?
Someone who lets you cry over and over and over again about the same exact thing and does not make you feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have cried about these situations for a very long time, and I have a handful of friends who have said, never ever feel guilty about calling me for this. I don't care if it's been 1 year. I don't care if it's been 5 years. This is human emotion. This is normal. But then you do have friends who definitely can discredit it, or, yeah. you know, you should be over this by now, or, okay, moving on, let's go out and party, let's go out and make out with a guy. Like, that is not how I want to heal from this.
No.
I want to really process this the right way.
And that's your decision on how to process. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It is hard because I think when you go through something like so, you know, like heartbreaking and heart-wrenching and change, and I mean, you live together, so you had to move, right? And
we did live together.
It's a whole nother layer of like, intertwining, and you know, and that you have a pet together that you raise,
yeah.
which is beautiful, by the way. I just love that. I'm like, we can have kids, we can have pets, we can co-raise them. Like, it's gonna happen because they're your babies.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
It's hard, but yes, we do.
So it brings up all of these things, and the thing is, though, I know it's hard, and you're like, I've saw new sides of friends, I've seen new sides of myself, I've seen obviously new sides of like where I'm gonna go with my life, but ultimately, living your truth probably trumps, like, you know, avoiding something that was inevitable that you would have caused you not allowed you to live your actual true self and your true life that you would have wanted to go fulfill.
For sure. And I think I'm obviously deeply uncomfortable right now with the loneliness. And, you know, every other day I question, like, did we make the right decision? And I know this is all normal.
Yeah.
But I was uncomfortable also in the relationship at that time because yeah. I wasn't sure if it was right. I wasn't sure who I was without a partner.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure where my life was going. And also something I need to remind myself, like, no decision is permanent.
Never.
If him and I are meant to be together, we will find our way back. If we don't, we probably weren't meant to be together. And I think what's great about the way him and I ended is nothing happened. We didn't end on bad terms. So if for some reason we find each other again, that's just how it's going to go. But right now, all I knew in that relationship was I don't know who I am outside of this relationship anymore. Yeah. We started dating when we were 22.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yep.
And we broke up when we were 34.
Yeah.
So in those 12 years, I was a totally different person. And yes. Unfortunately, I think we started dating so young when we were still like drinking and partying, and we didn't develop good communication styles and habits and prioritize self-development in the way that I would if I entered a relationship now.
Yeah.
And I think we just carried through like pretty unhealthy habits,
mm-hmm.
immature habits, I should say, into our adult years, and it just wasn't feeling aligned anymore.
Yeah. And it got away with it a little bit too long with like what you were allowing to happen. Yeah.
I think the time apart, regardless of what that looks like, whether it's forever or for a few years or what, it was needed.
Yeah.
We needed to grow on our own.
You needed to find yourself again. It's kind of it's the theme of the podcast, but it's true.
Yeah.
And I think maybe had never known yourself really. I mean, like, did I know myself at 22? No.
No.
Honestly, I'm 28 and I don't even really know if I know myself. I know what I like.
Yes.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm starting to, but like transparently, 28 is the first year I've had an opinion about my life.
Mm.
Like truly, I am in you, like the first time I've had an opinion on, wait a minute, do I even like this?
Mm-hmm.
Do I like this like job? Do I like this friend? Do I like this place? Do I want to travel there? I'm like, oh my God, I've been a yes man for my whole entire life. I've been going off of, and I said this to you in the car, what I thought I should be doing for so long and not what I actually want to be doing.
Right.
And that is where I felt this, I have a really good life, but I have this unfulfilled like pit in my stomach of like, what's not really aligned? Like something isn't right. Mm-hmm. It's because truly I hadn't even taken the time to find myself.
Yeah.
I just allowed things to move past me, say yes, 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 maybe no to a few. And it's gotten me here. And then you wake up one day and you're like, whoa.
I also think that's so common, right? I think so many people are stuck in this like, this cookie cutter, what we're supposed to be doing.
The classic life. What you're supposed to do. Oh right. My God.
And they don't take time to actually sit with what's actually like feeling good to me right now and what's not. And they don't, they know what doesn't feel good, but I don't know if people like take the time to actually dive into that and understand why it's not feeling good and what they should do to switch it up.
I know. I don't think anybody does it, but I would say that is the most rewarding thing. And you want to know why? And what you're saying just now too, of like living my truth now and like listening to my gut and my intuition and like taking that huge risk of like, you know, breaking something off with someone I really cared about. For me, I'm like, I have to figure out who I am because this is not for Sydney today. It's also for me in 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And looking back, being like, wait, did I ever like know me?
Right.
Did I ever do the things I wanted to do? Or was I just following what society says I should do?
Right.
Like I'm getting married and I thankfully I reflected on this because I want to be not, but I'm telling you right now, if I would have been with the people prior, like I would have been marrying them because I should.
You should. Yeah.
And like there's just those questions of whose decision is this is what I've always asked myself and have been asking myself, especially from being around like new mentors and new people with new ideas. Is this my idea / thought? Mm-hmm. Or is this a societal like implant or imprint, I should say the correct word is imprint on like what I'm doing. Yeah. And what do I mean by that is like, okay, me being in a corporate job, like I've talked about this a handful of times, like was that my idea? I mean, at first, yeah, it got me to where I needed to be, but staying here transparently, it's just like what society says I should do. Is my cup filled anymore? For no. Sure. I have things I want to go pursue, but it's safe. It's so safe.
Well, it's also the easy.
It's easy. It's easy. Easy to stay. It's way easier to stay. I'll tell you that.
It's a lot easier logistically and everything to just stay in these 9-to-5s.
And not,
not and not try to navigate starting your own business and the hustle of finding clients and navigating finding health insurance on your own. Like it's a...
Or a breakup in a new apartment. And how are we going to navigate having an animal? And like, how am I going to navigate having to pay full rent now? And like all of these things that were scary.
Yeah.
I know
it's always easier to stay.
It's way easier to stay always.
Yeah.
How did you have the confidence to be like, okay, I'm all these scary things piling up as you're thinking about doing this and embodying it. Now you're in it.
Yeah.
Like, how are you reminding yourself that you can? Like, how are you reminding yourself that like, you've got this, like, this is me and me only, and I'm doing this thing by myself with confidence.
I mean, full transparency, most of the days I don't feel like I have it right now. Yeah. There are days where I feel more hopeful than others, and I give myself a pep. I literally give myself a pep talk in the mirror.
But that is how you're doing it.
Yeah.
You're pep talking.
I look myself in the eye, and I'm like, we're going to be okay. We've got this. Mm-hmm. We can do hard things. And this will all hopefully be worth it. Mm-hmm. Because not a lot of bad comes from doing the work on yourself.
Right.
Because all it's going to do is build resilience, make me more confident in myself, give me a better idea of what I will and will not tolerate, what I want, where I want to be. And that's going to make me show up better for somebody else.
100%.
And it's also going to make me choose my next partner because I want them to be in addition to me. I do not want them to make me whole.
Oh,
I want to feel whole all on my own and have the next person to come in and be like, you're a great addition to me, but I don't need you. I feel like a lot of the people that were in my past were because I felt like I needed them for whether it was to feel confident in myself or to, I felt like I couldn't, you know, afford things, which I could. I just like had this, like I needed the security or there was something that was missing in myself that I wasn't paying attention to because I didn't want to. So they were just like an easy cover up. But now I'm just like, no, I want to do this on my own. And I want the next person to come in to just be like, a plus.
Like, you're lucky to be here, kind of.
Totally.
Like, literally, I mean, like, that's the mindset you need to have.
Just kind of like, I want you, I don't need you.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's exactly the mindset that you should have.
Yeah.
But also, you being able to say that now means you've come a long way. And I know that you're feeling things still and you're navigating. I mean, you're going to be feeling things for a long time. As many of us know, like, when you're going through any sort of grief, you'll feel it for a long time, but it'll be just one day at a time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But Megan now and Megan before are completely different people, even though this grief is still real.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely made strides in the last few months, I will say. I just don't want it to feel like or sound like I have it all figured out, because
no.
Two nights ago, I was on my bathroom, my shower floor, screaming into my own fists.
Yeah.
Full transparency.
No.
Transparency
is welcomed here.
There are nights where I'm like, I'm not getting through this. I've been sleeping at my parents' house because sleeping alone has felt horrifying and scary and lonely, and mornings feel daunting. I open my eyes and I have like a second of peace, and then it's like, oh yeah, we're still navigating this. And how do I get through today? Let's make it through today without a panic attack. Let's make it through today without crying. So every day does feel challenging right now. And I don't want it to sound I've got it all figured out, because I don't. And I think that's where a lot of people are like, oh, Megan went through this breakup and she's doing great and navigating it so well. I'm not. Every day is a new day, and I'm taking it literally one minute at a time these days.
You know, you're incredibly successful with your career, and you're gorgeous. You're like kind, you're like open, you're vulnerable, you're all these things. So I think people hearing that in a weird way, like, hey, I'm still navigating this shit. Mm-hmm. Even though you do have some things figured out. I mean, you're doing an incredible job, and I think you don't give yourself enough credit.
Thank you.
But it's like, in a weird way, I think it's actually comforting to people that they're like, oh my God, thank God. Cause I'm going through a breakup that was only 2 years, or the air quotes comparison game, or I'm going through this challenge, or I lost someone really special to me, and you know, it was only X amount of time. And
I don't think
I'm not
time,
okay. It's like, exactly.
The time, something that I have learned, doesn't seem to matter. I think it's the depth of the relationship. And like I said, I had a short thing after my long-term relationship, and never have I been more emotionally wrecked after that. And that was a fraction of the amount of time of my long-term relationship. I think it's the depth of which the relationship went, the connection that you had. I think soul ties are a very real thing.
100%,
I think the way the relationship ends also plays a role into how you grieve it and how you navigate it. The ending of those two relationships were so different. The second one threw me for a fucking loop. And that's the one that I have been really recovering from.
What did you learn from this relationship? This shorter one that was way more, it was intense and it was quick, but it hurt like a you know what?
Yeah.
After this, you know, you get excited, you go through a breakup, you get excited that somebody's exciting you again, and you probably dive head first, and you probably avoid like the feelings that you're feeling of the previous breakup. Maybe make some mistakes, overlook a few things because you're excited for next opportunity.
Yep.
And then, you know, it ends. What do we learn from that? What do you feel like?
I learned that rose-colored glasses are a very real thing.
Hmm.
I have learned that listen to your gut at the beginning. Red flags are red flags.
Yeah.
I learned that sometimes people are brought into our lives sheerly to be a lesson.
Mm.
And I have now navigated myself to the point where I understand that this person came into my life to teach me a lesson. And I think they left my life in the exact way that they were meant to in order for me to face myself. Because I would have never left that relationship out of the same fear of facing myself. The way that I was abandoned by that person, it only gave me one option.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sitting with myself for the first time in 17 years.
Yep.
So while it was devastating for me, because I was manipulated and lied to and deceived horribly, I will get to a point where I thank him. Not to his face. I will send him good riddance, but I
was going to say, don't send them shit.
Yeah, no.
Sometimes when people I know, like I know Megan in real life. So like I know who this person is and I so badly want to, I'm like biting my tongue because I want to say who it was and what they did. But you would never do that, obviously, because I don't condone online bullying at all. Period. End of story.
Yep.
But I'm like holding my chair like I twitch like just say it. I'm kidding. But you know what I mean? I know. It's freeing. God damn it. Never, but I'm laughing at myself over here being like, hold back, don't say the name, don't say the name.
Say the name. Yeah, it was, while I was in it, one of the most like beautiful connections that I've ever had. And that's why I fell so deeply in love with this person and was made to believe that it was a very mutual thing. And the way that I was left made me realize it wasn't a mutual thing. So to feel abandoned was awful. But I know I'll get, like I said, I'll get to a point where I see the lesson very clearly and I will thank him because I know that I'm doing so much work on myself and he's not.
Yep.
And I think that's the best revenge you can do.
100%.
Yeah.
When I'm leaving something, I always say it's either this or better because I know for a fact I won't get worse because I've gotten smarter from that situation or smarter or change, you know what I'm saying, and evolved.
Yeah.
And so my rule always is like, it's this or better.
Yeah.
It's this or better. And even I go into that when I'm in a new relationship or like in a new endeavor, I'm like, well, it's either this or better. And it kind of takes that like load off of like the only way forward is through. So it's either this one or I will be smarter and come out better on the other side in some way, shape or form after healing.
Yep.
And I will have better opportunities from what comes. And I believe that. I live by it. Test it with one of your things that you have going on in your life right now. And it kind of just takes that edge off of like constant worry of like, oh God, what if it's not this one? Or like, oh my God, this alone. No, it's totally. It's this or better.
Totally.
Period.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. And I've learned a lot of things that I'm going to take with me. Like you said, it's just like a life experience. It's part of the human experience to go through heartbreak like that. Mm-hmm. So I've learned a lot.
Yes, you have. And how to be resilient and all of these things.
Yes.
And you are still coming back to yourself. And every single one of these things have driven you back to you. Like every single pop-up of thing, including literally like you guys, Megan is on right now and like she's holding her shit together. She got hit by a car 2 days ago.
Oh my God.
Like literally, you guys, like I'm being like, like we can laugh because you're okay. But like she was rollerblading, got hit by a car. It's like, you can't make this shit up. Had anaphylactic shock the other day, a week ago.
I've had two near-death experiences in the last 2 weeks. I'm like, the universe needs to lighten the fuck up.
No, literally be kind.
Yeah.
Be kind to Megan. Like, I need a break. Universe. Like, so I'm like. I need
a break.
Like I'm energy matching you because I'm like, I need to give you some love and some space right now of like, you've been through some shit.
Yeah. It's been a weird year.
It's a weird ass year. And I think that's for a lot of people. This is a weird year, but every single one of these things is like, I got to be with myself more.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got to find me again. I've got to ask myself questions about my life. I've got to look myself in the mirror and cheer myself on. I have to, even when you're in a relationship, like, I hate to say it, it doesn't solve any of the issues that you have with yourself. Like I'm living proof of that. Like I have insecurities that come up. I'm working through like this weird, you know, you make choices about your life and businesses and then you're like, oh my God, what do? I don't even know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like you'd question everything that the decisions you've made.
For sure.
And my partner can't solve that for me.
I know.
That's a me thing.
Yeah.
So everything, whether you're in a relationship or not, is coming back and spending time with yourself and asking tough questions in quiet time. And it's less phone time. It's less phone time. It's less TV time. It is more
heart time.
More,
like spending time with your heart time. And your mind. And journaling.
Holy right. Oh my God. Shit. Right.
That has been my like saving grace.
Yeah.
I used to just like kind of randomly journal, but I used to have to follow prompts because free writing for me was really hard. It's crazy how much you can write when you are navigating grief.
Yeah.
I just like every morning, my journal's next to my bed. It's the first thing I do. I open it and I set my timer for 15 minutes.
That's such a good practice.
And I just free write. I do a brain dump. I write down what I dreamt about if I had dreams that night. I write about how I felt going to bed the night before, how I feel waking up, what I hope to do that day. And some journals are like, I'm afraid to ever go back and reread this journal that I filled last because it's a dark place of my corners of my heart and my mind. I feel bad for the person I am in 10 years from now that goes back and reads this journal, because I'm going to look back and be like, wow, this girl was going through
it. Yeah, sweet girl. You were healing. Oh, yeah. Brother.
And healing is not pretty.
No, it's not. It's always not pretty at all. It's not always pretty at all.
No.
Yeah, and you're moving through all of that right now. I mean, morning pages is what I was going to say. Yeah. Morning pages are your subconscious processing. So like by doing that, the minute you wake up, it's actually still your brain is coming out of ideally REM, if you're REMing, coming out of deep sleep and like processing everything. So not even looking at your phone before you do that will allow everything to come out because it has to go somewhere. It's got to be like processed. Vomiting. Yeah, it's kind of like throwing up. You're like,
you don't even think. You just like spill.
No, and that's the best way, in my opinion, best way to journal.
To journal,
yes. To journal is a morning page.
Yeah.
If you can make it outside with a little tea, I also really like that too.
Yes.
But I find like, literally, if you can wake up, rise, write, it's like the most freeing thoughts that come out.
Yeah.
And that's got to help like cleanse. That's all we're doing is cleansing. You know what question I was going to ask you is, you mainly work alone too. Like, I mean, it's solo work.
Yeah.
How are you like, I don't even know how to ask this. Like, how are you keeping your energy high and like meeting yourself every single day to like show up? Like, I mean, it's just hard. It's hard. Because you are working alone too and processing all these things in your solo space, et cetera.
Yes.
Because a lot of people live alone who I'm connected with. A lot of women.
Yes. Yeah. I've had to make a pretty conscious effort of keeping a full calendar.
Okay.
I make sure to have like 2 to 3 social things for the week, even if it's just a walk with a friend. I've been spending a lot of time with my parents.
Yes, I love that though.
A lot.
Yeah, but it's the season. Like in a weird way, like you wouldn't, had you not gone through all this breakup and all these change.
I probably wouldn't be doing this.
You probably wouldn't be doing this. And it's kind of a beautiful thing for you and for them.
Yeah, they like having me there because I cook a lot of food. And I think I'm just, I don't know, maybe I'm telling myself that, but I'm sure parents like having their kids there.
Of course.
But yeah, I've been spending a lot of time with my parents. Social activities on the calendar, travel.
Yeah.
Has always been a huge passion of mine. So there are days where I'm like, am I traveling to as a form of escapism?
Yeah.
And then I need to remind myself like, no, this is a pat. Like I like to travel. Don't overthink it. Even if it is a form of escapism, you're still going out and living your life.
Experiences.
It's not like you're traveling to New York City and sitting in a hotel room all weekend. You're going out. You're going to restaurants. You're meeting people. That's living. That's
correct.
Living your life. So I'm trying to, while learning how to be alone and having those alone moments, and I, like you said, I do work alone. So I film all day alone, and then I really try to make an effort to go to a coffee shop to
edit. Good. Yeah. Just being in public, in a place where people are moving and talking and grooving. Yeah.
Yep.
This is what I need to practice. I'm listening to you right now for me too. I'm like, coffee shops are
huge. I mean, I have like a weird thing with coffee shops. I could spend all day at a coffee shop.
I could drink
shop.
40 coffees if I wanted to.
There's something so soothing to me and comforting about a coffee shop. I don't know if it's just being around people, other people who are working. I don't know if it's just calming. I don't know what it is, but I could spend all day there.
Wait, do you have a favorite Minneapolis coffee shop?
I love Harmony.
That's my favorite. We met there because we go there. Yeah. I would say that's probably my favorite.
I just
favorite.
Think it's such a vibe in there. I love the records.
Yeah.
I love the aesthetic of it.
Yeah.
Seats could use some cushions.
My back after I leave there, I'm like, sorry, I'm bent in half. Literally not by my butt crack. Butt like is, literally bent in the back. Like
butt is numb like, after that
literally
place.
One
but
cheek.
I still love it. Yeah.
But I will say I love that coffee shop.
Yeah.
Love. 10 out of 10.
Also making efforts to call long distance friends. Like while I cook dinner, I'll call my best friend Jordan who lives in LA. My friend Jenna, we'll sit on the phone for an hour and then I've cooked dinner and I've eaten dinner and I wasn't alone. I was catching up with a friend. So it's a balance. I'm trying to not spend every second with friends, but I'm also trying not to spend every second alone because that's also not good.
That's not good for anybody.
Isolating is also a real thing.
No.
So
what have you found as you have found yourself again to be like your favorite things now? Because I think that's kind of a fun thing to think about when even things are tough, you're learning like what you love again that maybe you didn't do or didn't even know that you loved because you're busy in a relationship.
I think a lot of the there's a lot of like overlap of things that I loved with both of those relationships. The second one, I'm realizing a lot of the things that he and I loved was me loving it and him mirroring that.
Oh, love, lovely. A mirroring behavior.
Yeah.
Whenever someone mirrors you, people, you got to keep your eyes open. That's all I'm going to say about that.
For the hills.
Mirroring is scary.
Yeah.
Mirroring that and love bombing is scary.
That was all new to me.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
No, for real. It's real.
Yeah. So a lot of my same things, farmers markets, traveling, being in the sun, rollerblading, which might take a break on that.
Lord, that was the instant that she
got hit by a car.
Got hit by a car. Thank God you have no broken bones and you didn't hit your head. Like, I don't know how that happened, but I just want to say, literally, thank you, God. Like, fuck, holy shit.
Yeah, I've been having some chats with the universe for sure of just like, what is this season trying to teach me? And I think what I've gathered in the last probably 3 months is resilience.
Yeah.
Because something that I always felt afraid of being alone was that I wasn't going to be like, okay, like I wasn't going to be able to do it. I was always going to need someone to fall back on, whether that be emotionally or physically, financially, whatever it was. But I think I'm being tested in a way that's just like, almost just like the universe saying like, we're going to put you through hell and you're going to get through it.
To show you
that like, you can fucking, sorry, you can do this.
You can swear. I just said like Jesus and then I said fuck. So I like try to be better
like,
about that.
You can do this. And that's what's going to give me the confidence to be in my next relationship or be alone or whatever it is just like knowing the shit that I have gone through in the last few months and I did it on my own. Granted, I've leaned on people, of course. Yeah,
I mean, duh. Like, you need your people.
But at the end of the day, it's like me, myself, and I in my bed hugging myself.
Yeah. When you, I know I'm asking you a lot of questions about like where you have been and where you are now, but I was thinking about like even who you, what you like. Wait, I asked you that. Like, what do you like now? What are you finding out about yourself? But what about your personality has changed? I'd be curious because just from being in relationships and when I've gotten out, I've been like, oh my God, I might have conformed a little bit or I didn't stand up for myself or, you know, all of these things. And it made me realize like in all situations, whether it be work, friendships, relationships, I was coming in with a different personality because I was staying small or I was behaving in a different way due to the relationship.
Yeah. I think in the long-term relationship, I definitely shrunk myself a bit in terms of like, our energy levels were very different. I'm like a lot more outgoing and blunt and different senses of humor. And I think I shrunk myself almost to match the energy a little bit.
Yeah.
And that in turn, I think just made me a little bit smaller in terms of my career. And maybe I thought I wanted to stay in Minnesota, but like, I actually don't want to stay in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I knew I didn't want to stay in Minnesota, but I stayed. And, you know, you shrink yourself a little bit. So I think right now I'm still navigating it. But I think once I get through it a bit more, my life will expand in a way that it was kind 100%. Of meant to.
100%.
You know what I mean?
What do you feel like is your next things? Like, looking ahead is daunting when you have change, but it's also really empowering to be like, okay, there's a forward and it's going to be really fucking incredible.
Yeah. I wish I had an answer for you.
You don't have to have a full answer.
Well, I think what's so hard for me is I feel like my entire life, I kind of always knew what was coming next.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I'm a person who I like a plan. I don't like the unknown. But I mean, some people lean into it a little bit better and I'm learning to lean into it. I don't like not knowing what's coming next. It's deeply uncomfortable for me.
I think for many people, it's not comfy.
Yeah, it's not.
But some people are like, I don't care. You're lying. You're lying. I'm sorry. Right. You do care.
People who don't have any sense of urgency, I'm like, how are we doing that?
I'm not judging you, but like, I'm like, what?
Yeah. No, but like, I have options and ideas, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm toying with moving out of Minnesota. Do I want to go abroad? I'm thinking London. Do I go to Spain for a few, like three to six months? And do I move to New York City? Because let's be real, like food in the US, that's the best city to be in for like a food career.
Yep.
So in terms of career advancements, I do see myself in New York, but I also see myself on the beach in San Diego.
Oh my God, you can't go wrong.
So, you know, I don't.
You can't go wrong.
No.
You just named like four of the best places on the planet.
What I'm leaning towards is my lease is up in December and I'm thinking about going abroad for a bit and working remotely and then coming home in like spring and figuring out a bit more of a concrete thing.
I think what's cool is you don't like the unknown, but you're okay with some unknown and you're also like mm-hmm. dreaming mm-hmm. and like you're allowing the unknown to be a dream versus like a scary thing. Like you're for just sure. like, I would dream of living abroad. So I think I'm just going to go for a little bit.
Yeah.
And like knowing this much versus trying to know the whole end game.
Yeah.
I think that's a really healthy practice because I think a lot of people are like, well, I need to know, like, I'm going to end up with my family in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You're like, babe.
Yeah.
Chill.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I want to end up here and I'm here. Totally. My roots are in the ground here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like that is a really good practice.
It's really scary. And I mean, a next big thing that I'm also trying to navigate is total subject change.
No.
Freezing my eggs.
Yeah.
Like that for me, I'm like, that's another big thing that I have to kind of start thinking about.
Yeah.
I just turned 35. I'm more single than I've ever been in my entire life. I'm nowhere near close to wanting to even look at a man.
Yeah.
So we've got some time. So I need to think about that. And that's a very emotional thing to start.
How are you navigating that? I know it's tough.
It is tough. I didn't think it was going to be something that I had to do. So I think mm-hmm. that's why it's a very emotional thing to start.
Yeah.
I do think it's an empowering thing to be able to like make that decision of like, I don't know what I want. I don't know if I want kids, but I want to give myself the option to want them a few years down the road.
Yeah.
So this is something that I know I need to do. It is going to be emotional. Did I see myself doing this? No, of course not. Mm-hmm. But life throws you curveballs. Yep. And I haven't really done things conventionally so far. So why would I start now?
No reason to start. Might as well lean in. Jesus Christ. I was going to tell you it's empowering, but you already knew that.
Yeah.
You already knew that because it's your choice. And it's if you want it or not. And if you would like to do it, it's a beautiful thing to give yourself an option. And I think it's you claiming your life by the horns and being like, yeah, this is my life and I'm in control.
Totally. And
that's beautiful too.
My neighbor the other day was like, Megan, I had my first kid at 42. I was like, hell yeah, yes. You go girl. And I just think we don't hear about that enough.
No.
But women are doing that all the time. And honestly, I'll probably thank myself for waiting because mm-hmm. me at 25 was nowhere near ready to be a mother. Hopefully me at, 38 will be in a much more stable place if that's the path that I decide to take. So, I don't know.
And more alignment with yourself gives you more opportunity to go where you want to go because you're going to know yourself better in in 2 years from right now than you ever have.
Right.
And side note, I don't want kids yet. And everyone's like, you're going to get married and have kids, right? I'm like, no,
see,
not
it's
yet.
Just
no.
Always what's the next thing. It's like one thing at a time.
I'm a month away from getting married.
Yeah.
Why are you asking me about kids?
I know.
Like, I'm like, I just want to live my life. And also I like my career and I would like to see what I can themselves. Do. I feel like we have to be better about asking better questions.
Of course.
Like I believe that wholeheartedly. I think it's one of the biggest opportunities. And I think it's sad because I think we're getting lazy with social media. Everyone's heard this song and dance. I'm sorry I'm going there. But it's like we're not getting to know people how we should be getting to know them.
No.
It's almost like you're keeping me on my, and I'm not meaning you literally, you're keeping me in check on my timeline.
For sure.
The fuck?
I know.
Do you even know my timeline?
Well,
it's yours that you're asking me about. Okay, got it. You know what I mean?
Also, I can't imagine your fiance has gotten that question once.
No.
He's never been asked. So do you guys want kids?
No, he's not. No. I'm like, guys.
I know.
Let's be better about what we're asking people and what season they're in.
I know.
Like, I even try not to be like, how are you?
I know.
Well, I'll try to like address it with like, I don't know what to ask you right now because I know that this is a tough season. Like, how can I show up for you?
Yeah.
Or like, is there anything, what kind of mood do you want today? Or like, is there somewhere I could be better of support for you?
For
like
sure.
Those are types of things that probe way more than how are you?
I know.
Like, holy banana.
Let's get to know people a little bit better.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm like, that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny because I used to be so afraid to have my own opinion on anything. And even me saying that, like, I'm like, oh God, people are going to be like mad at me for saying that. Guys, I used to be afraid of everything, but a season of knowing yourself and coming back to yourself is knowing when you have an opinion on something and being able to sit here and be like, yeah, this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm sticking to that.
Yeah.
This is my opinion. I think you shouldn't ask people those questions. I think, like X, Y, Z. But it's so funny having alone time and finding yourself you find your opinion again.
You find your voice for sure.
Your voice, your
and
opinion.
And when you have a voice and confidence, that makes for a pretty strong opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you
but
know
I was
what you want.
Terrified to have even an opinion online of like how to stand on something because I didn't want to be bothered. It was like I was afraid of being poked at or something. I don't really know. But it is, you know, even with all the discomfort, it is really comforting knowing like I know who I am more and more every single day.
Yeah.
Because I'm spending time with me and listening to me.
Yeah.
You know?
And as far as that opinion thing goes online, I think there's also a fear for people who have following. There's a fear of being disliked.
Yeah. Yep.
And when you share an opinion on something, you're bound to offend a group of people because it's the internet.
Someone somewhere.
It's just how it is. And when you offend someone, you risk them not liking you. And there's just like this spiral of like, oh my God, they're not going to like me.
Yeah.
And then you kind of stay quiet and lose your voice.
Yeah. You know, even with people not online, I feel like I've been in situations with friends where they've said something and I reacted like with the idea of their comfort. Like they told me something and I was like, that was kind of a weird thing to say, but like, whatever, move past it. I go home and I'm like, that was fucking weird. Why did I not say something? Like they weren't afraid to say what their opinion was. Why did I have to feel like I had to curl and get smaller just to make sure there was no ruffling of feathers?
For sure.
So what I'm practicing right now as I find who I am is like, listen, because if you speak before you listen, you're not going to hear what's happening and you're not going to hear yourself.
Right.
So I have to actively be like, hearing. Okay. Process. Okay. Respond.
Pause because before you speak.
That's an opportunity.
That's also a big one.
It's an opportunity.
Pause before you speak.
I have ADHD.
So okay. Do I. Oh, I say whatever's on my mind. I need to be way better about it for sure. That's something we can all take away from, you know?
Take
a moment and breath before we speak.
Because I used to freaking, like literally, like trying to get my words out. Oh my God. Like, babe, we got time. Like, listen, process, speak, then it's move forward.
So funny.
I was just like thinking about myself. By the way, guys, I didn't even say this in the beginning. This is my first time recording in this new space. I'm in a new space.
Is it?
It's my first time. Like, my sign isn't even up because we have to drill it into the wall. And
are you going to put it right here?
I'm going to put it right here.
Cute.
And I feel like me being in here, this is a reflection of me, and that makes me really proud too, because I'm really proud to be creating things that reflect me now.
For sure.
And even in the conversation we're having, the conversation we had prior, like, because you've been on, this will be your second time on the pod, was a really good conversation. But like, this conversation also aligns with me more because I want to help people build their own brand, who they are, like finding themselves and helping people like you, like my friends, like mentors, etc., tell their real life stories of where they are.
Yeah.
Because I think that we're missing the mark on that right now too. It's information overload, what to do all the time. Here we go. Next step, how to live healthy, how to build the home, how to da-da-da-da-da. And some of what we need to do is just be and learn about other people's lives.
For sure.
And learn from what you have gone through and where you're fucking at right now.
I think that's something that I've always found beneficial of opening up about not so fun things that I've navigated, whether that be autoimmune, career changes, breakups, whatever. If I can like make one person resonate, feel less alone, reach out to me and thank me for sharing it because it helped them through something.
Right.
That's all I need. I just want these topics to be less taboo to talk about.
I know.
Because heartbreak, let me tell you, is genuinely the most isolating feeling. Because you isolate yourself because you don't want to feel like a burden. You feel so shattered and sad that in your own head, you're like, there's no way anyone has ever felt this before. But trust me, heartbreak is the most universal experience. We will all, at some point, be heartbroken, whether it's from a breakup or a death.
They are very similar in the feelings
emotions.
That you feel. Yes,
100%.
Being that I've been through both, they're
grief
very
is,
painful.
Grief is pretty similar on those two fields for sure. So it's a universal experience. We are all going to feel grief and heartbreak at some point in our life, unless we, for some reason, avoid it.
I don't know how you would,
brush it under the rug, whatever.
I don't know,
but there needs to be more discussion about this, and I've actually thought about starting a heartbreak retreat for women.
Oh my God.
Because when I was going through it, I was scouring the internet for a retreat to go to be surrounded by women who are also grieving,
yeah.
to go through meditations and yoga and hikes and vulnerable circles and
yes.
home cooking. And I was like, this might be something that I start.
Costa Rica.
I want women to not feel alone during this because I've never felt more alone. And I'm a social person.
Yeah.
I have a large community. I have a family. I have friends. I have an online community. I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone. But going through this, I was like, I am alone.
Yeah. Where is everybody?
Where is why do I feel so alone?
Yeah.
That's also been on my list of maybe this is something that I turn into a positive.
I think you could make a huge, how do I say this? Impact. Integration of food and impact on females or whoever you want to invite to it.
Yeah.
And it's like the pairing of your worlds and like who you are coming together.
Yeah.
And like Costa Rica is like the birthing ground for all of the things you just listed off. I went to a retreat there with my friend Anna, who throws retreats, and I mean, it's life-changing there.
I was life to do Sedona.
Yeah, Sedona is incredible too.
When I was heartbroken beyond all reason, could not get myself up off the floor, couldn't eat anything, my mom took me to Sedona. And I did a lot of like the witchy woo-woo healing stuff. Did it heal me? No. Did it help? Yes.
Feels pretty damn good though.
Feels good. It was very healing being in nature. I did like a river bath by myself and just like laid in the river and cried and let the water like rush over me.
Mm-hmm.
Sedona is a very healing spot. So that was on my list, but Costa Rica would also be
both are amazing. Incredible. You could absolutely create this. You know that, right? Like this is in reach. Like this is not far away.
I do think it's something that I could create.
So I'll be coming on your retreat.
You should. We should talk about it.
All right. We'll talk about a retreat. What the hell? It's on the bingo board for this year.
Let's connect off camera.
Off camera connection, because we're on camera now because you're watching. Okay. So we've talked about a lot, but I just want to see, like, I know you said, I asked you what's next, but like what's coming in the horizon that's exciting you to kind of just like end our conversation. Is there anything that's right around the corner? It doesn't have to be far away.
Does it have to be career?
No, it can be anything you want.
I've got a couple trips coming up that I'm very excited about. I'm going to New York.
Yep.
Visiting some friends from Next Level Chef, visiting just friends that live there. I just like New York for food also. It's a great city. I have Mexico City coming up.
I've still never been.
Oh, girl.
You went there for like a month, didn't you?
I went there for a month the day after my relationship ended.
That was right.
That's wild.
That is also something that you should share really quick. Like you went there, you had moved out, broken up, and
I had not moved out yet. Okay. So the trip was on the calendar. I was going to go for a solo month, Mexico City. He was going to come out halfway through, stay for like 10 days. We were going to do a vacation.
Love, yep.
We ended up breaking up the night before that I left. So that's another thing that I'm pretty nervous about with this season coming up is September was the beginning of the end for us.
Yep.
So fall is hitting hard. I'm not going to lie.
Because you're feeling the grief and emotions from the previous year.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm reliving everything.
Okay.
September was the beginning of the end. October was the break. November was the breakup. In December, I moved out.
I think part of it is rewriting what you want those times to be and really doing your best to like maneuver through like, this was the year before, but like the year before that was completely different too.
Yep.
And there were ups and there were downs and there, you know, you have to rewrite those areas. So
yeah,
September, we're in September, but like October is your Mexico City.
Yeah.
September is New York and friends. Yep. November is like, it's redefining what you want those to be and just like move, navigate around. Yep. You have to.
Yep. It's going to be a tough season.
It's going to be a tough season though.
But yeah, I need to rewrite it. Maybe that's my title of my next journal, Rewriting Fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Rewriting Autumn.
You have travel coming up. You've got things to do and to live and to breathe. And do you have any fun partnerships that you can share that you're working on or recipes that you're curating right now?
I'm always partnering with Grillo's, the pickle brand. They're my favorite. Elmhurst Milk has been a long-term partner.
I love Elmhurst. I didn't know they're the best. Them. I love their milk.
They've been a partner of mine for probably 3 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I love them. They're awesome.
Force of Nature, that meat that we were talking about is coming down. Yeah, we've got some fun stuff. Work slows for social media in the summer.
Yeah.
But now it's holiday season, which ramps back up for recipes and stuff.
Yep.
Getting into a bit more lifestyle content, which is fun. Like travel. Got some travel stuff coming up.
Oh, sick. We'll be watching.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be fun.
Will you do your handle real quick just to make sure everyone spells it correctly when they go to find you?
At Megan Shealy, MeganSheely.
Perfect. And we're excited to have you in the Wealthy Circle too, because we also, if you're listening, have a farm to table dinner that we need to like get out there
and
get to share with people. I'm like, when is it? Like 2 weeks from right now?
Yeah. What's basically the date?
The 25th, I want to say. I'm not looking at my calendar.
September 25th, we are, get that date right.
That is not the right date. I think it's the 27th, but I got to reopen my calendar the 28th. Well, do we want to do it on a Sunday?
She'll look it up, but we are having a farm-to-table dinner at a farm in White Bear Lake.
Mm-hmm. Called Spring Lake Park.
Spring Lake Park. I will be helping curate the menu. Uh-huh. We will be chefing it up. I think it's going to be like 50 people.
Yep. 50 spots.
50 spots.
It's really cool because the theme will have kind of like a, we're not really strangers like theme, to get people together. And then like Megan is curating the menu or like helping curate the menu, and it's all farm to table. I forget how many courses. I want to say five.
We should
get all of our details streamed, but we haven't posted about it yet. So you're hearing it first, and it's going to be really fun. I think it's just something that's different. Like what I'm really trying to lean into too right now in my season of like what I'm creating is moments that are meaningful and different. You know, I think, what's it called? Something is a form of flattery. What do they call that?
Imitation
or repetition or however you want to call it, what it is a form of flattery. But I want to create new and different because I want it to be something that is unique in your brain, not just something that you've been to 100 times.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm starting to think about as I build my brand is like, how can I make them unique? How can I create unique experiences for people? Because those are usually the ones that are most impactful, not the things you've done over and over and over again.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
So more details to come on that. We need to cruise because we're going to go cook in like 15 minutes and we're really excited. So Wealthy Circle Girls, we're coming for you. Thanks for being here and opening up about everything. I think it was healing for me even. Like it was truly.
This stuff is healing for me too. I think talk therapy is a very real thing. Right?
100%.
Talking through emotions is huge. So if I've made one person feel better, that's enough for me.
And I'm sure you did, because I would have had this episode when I was navigating like a 6-year breakup, I think I would have been in a lot better place. At least knowing where somebody was and things I can, do to like move myself through.
Yeah.
And different mindset. So
yeah.
I hope you journaled some things. I hope people are taking this away with like morning journal pages and all the things that we threw out there. I appreciate you listening. I, know that you're like family to me if you're here and you get a little piece and inside of my life, whether it's going great or whether it's a season of change. I'm 30 days away from my wedding and I'm in a kind of a funky fluff of like, I'm so excited for this. And also I have so much going on that I'm trying to navigate of like, how do I process my new direction for work? And like, what does this look like? What does this new identity of me look like? So I'm definitely in the season of finding myself and I'm glad that I can share that with everybody here. So
love that.
Grateful for you.
You've got a lot going on too.
Hey, we're navigating. We're doing what we can.
Here's also the thing that I, last thing. This no, is the last
add,
thing.
Add it.
The one thing that I, biggest takeaway, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing.
Thank you.
Ever at any
Thank
point
you.
In any time in life.
Thank you. And I will say the only way to win this game of life is to be fucking kind.
Yeah.
I swear to you, you change your tune to kindness, shit will happen to you that is incredible.
It's big.
Guaranteed. I've seen it happen to myself. I've seen it happen to other people.
Yeah.
Being kind is the only way you can win at this game of life. Period. End of story.
Treat Believe people that to how you want to be treated.
Correct. And just be kind, right?
Yeah.
I love you. I appreciate you. More podcasts where this came from. Thank you for being patient as I navigated some time off and really what I needed so that I could come back better and stronger. And thanks for being here, Megan.
Thanks for having
Let's
me.
Let's go cook. Let's go make some Greek bowls, I'm going to call them.
Yeah.
Bye, Greek friends. Bowls.
Bye.